realizing that you are a spirit and you are more than your body. Like, I think our body is sacred and divine. Yet once humans realize that we incarnate multiple times and we're a spiritual being having a human experience, right? That alone will shift this like great remembrance, like, why am I here? Why are we here? How did we get here?
Hello, Soul Family, and welcome back to another episode of Elevated Community Podcast, where we come together to explore what elevates our souls. This is a place where we get to really connect, share, and experience conscious community through deep conversations so that we may feel less alone in the world. This is a place where we can really challenge our own perspectives and invite new ways of being into our lives. Today, I am super grateful to be sharing such a potent episode that's full of just so many different things and so many different insights. And this episode is going to be with one of my dear friends, Ashton Robertson of Spaceship Earth Music, and I'm also joined in with my partner, Joe Geiger. So for those who may not know, Ashton is based out of Denver, Colorado, and he is a solo musician who creates world-class psychedelic electronic bass music with live electric guitar, inspirational messages, and multidimensional vibrations, as noted from his website. So he has a very unique way of expressing his divine essence, and it's just really incredible. I'm actually going to be sharing one of his latest tracks at the end of this episode, so you'll get a little taste of that. I've known Ashton for quite some time. I actually met him through a couple of mutual friends back when I was living in Western Maryland. And I think it may have been at like a sound healing or one of those sorts of things. So I've known him for a few years now. And since I've known him, I've noticed that he's like very involved in different avenues of activism and really sets an authentic example of how to be a voice during these times. And not only that, but how to really keep ourselves informed and educated about what's going on in the world. So he really is a light and an inspiration for me and I think this planet in addressing the issues that we're facing as a world and kind of being a voice for that and shedding light on that. So I'm always reading his posts on Facebook and following him, and I'm just so inspired by the continuous work that he continues to put out into the world through his activism and through his music. So some of the main points that are addressed in this episode are Ashton kind of gives us a little background into how he started his path in becoming a musician. We touch on what has been going on in the electronic music scene and how we can really start to hold each other accountable so that we can create safer spaces to have a good time. Ashton speaks to the importance of re-educating men, self-love, and incorporating a safe place within the festival community that we can sort of open up these conversations to allow people a safe place to talk about things and to heal and grow. So he emphasizes this importance of men really getting in tune with their divine feminine. And we touch on the power of psychedelics, specifically mushrooms, as a tool for the rise of the divine feminine. And Joe and I kind of get into a little bit of our personal experiences with burnout from working corporate jobs, working like 40 plus hours a week and literally not having any time for self-care and being literally like disconnected from our bodies. Ashton gets into the importance of political activism. And one of the quotes that I really, really liked from him in this episode is that he says, "You cannot use the law of attraction to spiritually bypass the systematic oppression that the economies create." And I think that that's very significant to really talk about, because within this sort of spiritual hippie movement community, there's a lot of people that will just, and I'm guilty of this myself in the past, but sometimes we just kind of try to be overly positive and be like, oh, well, I can't be negative or think negative things because I'll attract that. And it's kind of like, no, that's not how it works. Actually, there are real world problems that are existing that we can't just ignore and spiritually bypass. So those are things to be a little mindful of. And then we all sort of get into our vision of the future and having a more creative and collaborative community. And there are just so many other things that are really just jammed packed in this episode that are so deep. And I remember just like, once we finished this episode, my heart was just, and it still is, just exploding after listening to it and just feeling all the love and the honesty that really is coming through everyone. And it gets pretty vulnerable. So I'm super grateful for you tuning in today, wherever you are in the world, whatever time you are tuning in. And we are actually going to be giving unreleased song on the Patreon, so that'll be available for patrons only, and I will check back in with you at the end of the episode to talk a little more about some other things. But if you feel called to check out the Patreon, you can do so by visiting patreon.com/elevatedcommunity. And so I will let Ashton take it from here, and I hope that you enjoy this episode. And if you feel called to reach out to me on my Instagram, that is now live. I created an Instagram for the podcast specifically at Elevated Community Podcast, so you can tag me and share it with your friends, and I look forward to seeing you all on the other side. Today we are joined with Ashton Robertson of Spaceship Earth Music, and I have my partner Joe here with me too. And I'm so excited to be speaking with you today, Ashton. Thank you.
Absolutely honored to be on here and so stoked to connect with you.
Yeah. So the opening question that I like to ask everybody on the podcast is, what does community mean to you?
Okay. So I love this question. The first thing that comes to mind is that a community is made up of individuals. And if we really want to maximize community, I think embracing individuality and accepting and celebrating diversity, I think, is the key. And especially to me, like, gardening comes to mind. I think our culture is very like monocrop culture, one field of corn mm-hmm. for a mile. But like permaculture is like about this biodiversity and how the other plants help the soil and the nutrient like bed. So for me, I think that's like a good, powerful reflection.
Yeah, like connection with nature, connection with each other, connection to ourselves in this kind of collective symbiotic relationship with the earth. That sounds beautiful.
Yes. I love that. Yeah, I love that.
Yeah. So for those who are listening who may not know you, I was curious if you could talk a little bit about your story and how you got started on your path in being a musician and an activist.
Absolutely. So if you don't know who I am, my music name is Spaceship Earth, and my name is Ashton. I got started playing music, funny enough, like in middle school, because my best friend signed me up for marching band without telling me. And I just I was like, I grew up playing sports and all this stuff, and he convinced me to join. And ever since I was involved in band in school, I got so inspired to play guitar and, you know, start bands with other people. And it kind of snowballed into when I was in college and meeting a bunch of more musicians that were more into what I like compared to what my high school friends were into. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I guess it just kind of all started from my friend signing me up for marching band.
That's amazing. So how would you describe like the type of music that you make?
I say it's psychedelic electronic music because it's kind of like multi-genre. I don't always have like a concept of what genre I'm trying to make when I go into the studio, but it's always generally psychedelic in the sense that there's parts that are not just guitar or keyboard. There's some interesting noises, or the song structure is a little varied compared to standard music. But I think psychedelic electronic music is kind of a nice umbrella. Yeah. And then people should know that I play live guitar.
Yeah. So I'm curious because I know like in my past, I had actually never really heard psychedelic music until I went to my first festival. Like it kind of just, I stumbled upon it. And I'm curious, like if that was kind of your situation or how you really like found that, or was it just like this thing that just kind of comes through you naturally?
Funny enough, it was 100% the same thing for me. Okay. My friends, I grew up in bands, like rock bands. My stepdad was super into classic rock, so I got into guitar stuff real early, and I loved metal, reggae, ska, everything. And some friends just were like, hey, there's this band Papa Dozio and they're throwing this festival and we should go. And I had taken psychedelics before, but taking psychedelics at a festival with all this new music was truly what inspired me to switch genres. Wow. And like get into electronic music. And I had never heard like creative flowing electronic music. You know, it was just kind of like the classic dubstep from the 2000s. And like, it was cool and I always liked it, but I was more into rock. And then once I heard the other kind of stuff, like when I first heard Future Primitive and Aerothyme and a bunch of artists that were like connected to Papa Dozio, I just exploded my imagination for sure.
Yeah, that's something that I love about this community and the festivals and all of that is like, I remember the first time I had like never seen people moving their bodies like they were, and I was just like so uncomfortable, and I'm looking at all these hippies around me and I'm like, oh my god, like am I gonna turn into one of these, like and then, you know, sure
look at us now.
So I kind of wanted to give a little bit of background maybe into like what has actually been occurring in the music industry and kind of the festival community. I mean, I think that it's definitely some things that have been going on for quite some time, but like just now kind of coming up to the surface. So I was curious if we could talk a little bit about that and maybe even get into some ways that we can start holding each other accountable so that we can create safer spaces to have a good time.
Absolutely. And I love this because I've even found that what's happening in the electronic music scene isn't even making the news. And it's very much just happening in this underground festival community. So there's all these musicians who have had allegations against them of actual rape and sexual abuse and coercing women and just this hyper abusive sexual energy that's been like permeating through the communities. And it's all of these new artists just got called out, like Bass Nectar and Nako and Space Jesus. And it was shocking for me to see Bass Nectar actually just quit. He's like, I'm not gonna, you know, be in the music scene anymore for at least a while or something. Which kind of, I think, validates a lot of these stories and stuff. But it's, like you said, been happening in so many different areas of our society and our culture and throughout history. And this, like, new form of, like, patriarchy and just, like, hyper-sexuality in the American culture, I think, is almost like a newer breed of it, especially since Trump became elected. I really noticed, like, the festival scene since 2016 really shift its energy.
Definitely.
And the normalization of, like, just disrespect for women and disrespect for people's boundaries. It's like he makes it okay, I think, low key. Maybe it's not like talked about. It's kind of unspoken. And I mean, I do think it's much deeper than that. And even Donald Trump himself is like a product of our culture. But yeah, it's been like sad to have it all come out. Like these artists who you look up to and I looked up to, it's heavy for me as a musician, because it's like, well, who do I trust? And it's confusing.
Yeah, I'm really feeling that too, because I'm also looking at the people who were kind of associated with these artists too, and like, how do I feel about, like, I know Wookiefoot, I think, what is his name? Joe? He's like the lead guy of Wookiee.
Jay, I think.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, I don't know how even feel about, people being associated with him and kind of maybe knowing, but like, I'll never know. And I feel like so much like anger now, and I listen to music and I'm just having to completely like rethink the way I'm investing my money and the things I'm putting my energy into. And it's definitely, there's some grieving that comes with that.
Now, I think what you're saying is something that hasn't been spoken about enough, because there are many artists who helped normalize these abusive people's behavior and gave them, you know, a free pass, like, you know, just ultimate forgiveness, spiritual bypassing or whatever of just women's feelings, or, you know, everyone's feelings about these people. And being in the Medicine Tribe Facebook group has, I mean, like, I heard about the Nako thing from a bigger musician like 2 years ago, so I never knew if it was true, but I kind of stopped, I lost interest a little bit, but I got really into Wookiefoot, like super into Wookiefoot. And being in the Medicine Tribe the last month or so, now I'm confused. I'm like hearing a lot of stories about a lot of people that are not okay. And just, I don't know, like you're saying, it's like, it's just confusing. I'm not even sure how to feel.
Yeah, exactly. So how do you think we can hold each other accountable? Does that look like, obviously, I think calling people out is definitely working. But do you think that we, are there any other ways that we can hold each other accountable?
100%. I think especially men need to educate other men, and parents need to educate their boys that it's not okay to have non-consensual touch, or to essentially like manipulate women with gifts or like spiritual lingo. And So I think there needs to be this re-education. And I think at events and stuff, there needs to be like signs, there needs to be conversations. Artists need to be saying like on stage, like, this is a safe place. If anything happens, like, please take it to the security, or, you know, maybe there should be a team where like people have a safe place to have their voice heard, because that's a big part of this, is people haven't spoken up because they're scared of losing their careers or their friend groups and all this stuff. So the reason people are speaking up now is because people feel safe finally.
Yeah.
I don't really believe that cancel culture is like a thing. I just think it's like the Me Too movement happened, and all of these Hollywood elites, like Harvey Weinstein, especially once he got taken down, the like safety for people to come forward was like broken open. Just like, it was so much more accepted to like have your story be heard. But I 100% think it more of the responsibility needs to be on men, and not just women, like having mace and being protective. Like, men need to educate other men. And parents need to educate boys.
I'm so glad you said that. I needed to hear that, because I haven't even, that hasn't even been something that has crossed my mind. So it's really, it makes me feel good, you sharing that. And I wished Joey would have heard that.
What a miss.
He was saying, it's okay. That, do you want to recap what you said?
She's asking, like, how can we create this, like, new paradigm of, like, safety for people and consensual, like, consent or whatever. And I was saying, like, I feel like more of the responsibility should be on men educating other men, rather than, like, women having to, like, build armor and get mace in their purse and, you know, have this, like, secret army of women that can hold people accountable. It's like...
Yes.
That's just putting a Band-Aid on, you know, a cut. We need to go to, like, the root cause, which is, for millennia, men have normalized, like, not respecting women's boundaries or bodies. Or I think maybe the deepest issue is that humans don't have a connection to their own body and their own energy and their own space and their own self-love. Because I've found, like, it becomes nearly impossible to like cross someone else's boundaries once you truly respect yourself. You're like, why would I do that? That doesn't make any sense. So.
Absolutely. I really, really, really like that. I personally have been doing some self-work, and I joined a men's group online called Sacred Sons, and they are trying to transform how it is to be a masculine person in this day and age, and that the old type of way of being masculine, which is like being a warrior fighting, is like outdated, and we need to be emotional and in touch with our feelings and have done the work on ourselves in order to be true and not push away our feelings, feel them, and embody what it really means to be truly be a man. Because if we can't do that, then of course we're going to, you know, not respect women, because there's no feeling there. It's, these actions are done without like any hesitation. And if you, like you said, when, as soon as you love yourself,
you can't cross boundaries. It's like a consciousness shift or whatever. It's like, you hear in the spiritual circles, like the rising of the divine feminine. And like, I've heard this for like a decade. Like, essentially the entire spiritual awakening on the planet Earth is just the rebalancing and the rising of the divine feminine, and like the end of the suppression.
Sorry.
That was crazy.
I have my phone on this little stand thing and it popped off for a second, but maybe that was good info. So like, as men, like getting in tune with our own divine feminine, which to me, I think of it almost in like a mathematical way, like divine masculine could be like a line, and then divine feminine could be like a wave or like a circular pattern. Mm-hmm. And it's just kind of like physics in motion of like, there's like in electronics, there's like a male and then a female, which is essentially like you have, this is a good example. Like this is like, oh, my camera's not like, this is like a male mm-hmm. electronic part. And then like the female part is like the womb mm-hmm. for mm-hmm. the masculine, but it's like found all throughout nature. So I think every human has a balance of both, and you know, it's like giving, receiving, trusting our own intuition versus like educating yourself through scientific studies, like what you guys are talking about with food. Like that's very like divine masculine, like taking mm-hmm. control of your life. And then like divine feminine is like the intuition that guided you to get to that point. You're like, absolutely. You're listening to your body, you're, you know, honoring your feelings, and you're like, oh, I'm treating myself like crap. I smoke cigarettes every day. Like that's toxic masculinity mm-hmm. in an essence mm-hmm. on like a physical level rather than just like a mental or emotional level. Like there's a big universal shift, I think, on the planet and the universe and like the impulses of like cosmic evolution of just like the earth is finding her own balance and like we're in the middle of that.
Yeah.
Very much so.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, I keep hearing a lot of talk about like this new earth rising, and I've even heard about like the earth's frequency is actually rising as well, which is really, really fascinating. And I feel like a lot of the things that have happened with the pandemic are also allowing this space for us to start shifting, and it's bringing up a lot of things to the surface quite literally, and it's just really, really powerful. And I loved all the examples that you gave too about the divine feminine and divine masculine, and that was beautiful.
Thank you. Yeah, I think it's very real. I've just kind of like watched this, like, I mean, prior to 2012 and then after, like it felt like 2012 was just like this turning point of like people getting it. So many people nowadays are into meditation and yoga, and you know, hippie culture has become like the mainstream culture almost in like one short decade. It was like, you know, the 2000s was just pop culture, you know, like celebrities, movies, blah, blah, blah. And now you go on Netflix and there's like documentaries yeah. about aliens. Like the most, it has like the top 10 most popular movies of the week on Netflix. And it's like racial justice, like, you know, conspiracy theories about America, like mm-hmm. Epstein documentary. So oh, like yeah. popular culture has totally shifted.
Yeah.
2012 was very transformative. That's when I had my awakening. I was eating mushrooms in my basement with a friend of mine.
Yeah.
And I got this, I don't even want to say it's a voice. It was this intuitive voice in my head that I didn't see as my own. I saw it as like the mushroom wisdom, and it came through and it was like, eat the whole bag. And mind you, it was a half ounce. And my friend and I decided that we were going to tea the whole half ounce. And we each consumed a quarter ounce of mushrooms. And I don't have to go into the story, but I, like you had mentioned how you got into psychedelic music. I had heard of psychedelic music up to that point. And then after that night, the seed of Spangl that had been planted in my head years prior, I was like, what is this Spangl? And then, yeah.
Yeah. Kinda, whoa.
That was a
wow, very, I feel like you saying that kind of though. Like helped me realize like this like psychedelic movement of like a lot of people in our generation taking mushrooms and psychedelics for the first time is kind of like the divine feminine rising through our culture. Cause mm-hmm. it's like plant medicine and like the Mother Earth, and we're finally hearing those voices, and those intuitions are moving through us. And so it's like the balancing of like, it's like Mother Gaia, and is the rising of the divine feminine and all this. Cause the same thing happened to me. Like, I was just a normal kid, and then I took mushrooms, and it was like, I never have looked at the world the same.
Yeah.
So that was like the turning point for me. Yeah. Psilocybin. It's like sacred and truly holy, I think. Like, it was like I felt connected to the divine. And I didn't experience that at church prior to that. I was like, oh, there's like the divine intelligence permeating through everything, and like in me and everybody and everything. That's like, I think, just Mama Earth coming through the mushrooms, like.
Yes, for absolutely.
Sure. Yeah, it's that, funny that night. So, like, it's funny that you were saying that this is the resurgence of the divine feminine, because you've connected those dots in my mind, and I'm kind of mind blown, and I'm thinking to myself, I ended up in the hospital because my friend was going under a severe panic attack, and I was like, well, if he's not okay, then I'm not okay, so maybe I should call 911. And then when I realized I was on the phone with the operator, I was like, oh, I've just sealed my fate. I can't like hang up and be like, nothing's wrong, because then the cops will show. So I need to go through with this. So he went through with it, ended up at the hospital, and I firsthand had this really, really deep knowing and experiencing of how disconnected our healthcare workers are from being empathetic. They are like, there was no compassion for someone who was undergoing severe panic attacks at all. It was just like, you're on drugs, like, whatever, you're gonna get put in the corner. Except this one nurse came into the room, and she was like, definitely, now I know, she was low-key hippie, and she was like, you're okay, you don't have to worry, I've been through this before. And I was like, really? Like, I'm kind of terrified. But yeah, I saw this huge disconnect in with the healthcare system and with the police, because the police that showed up with the ambulance, they were like harassing me and like shining a light in my eyes, like, hey, you look like you're on drugs. And I'm like, please don't put that in my face.
No, I think, you know, that like touches on what's happening in the States with the police brutality and all that stuff. It's like, there's this systematic thing where police and hospitals are like the front line counselors for like mental and emotional issues, and it's so damaging to people who are going through it to have like call, you know, the hospital, go to the hospital, and you're like shamed.
Yeah,
like in a healthy culture that wouldn't even exist, like, to me that's just like embarrassing. Like, and it's so true. Like, when you're on psychedelics, you can like notice how insanely psychotic some of the structures and institutions in our world like operate.
Yeah. It was very mind opening. And then crazy. Just like on a, for the following, like, you know, since then till now, my mind and my life has been changed for the better. But the change that's happened up to this point has not, just wasn't some overnight switch. It was like the seed was planted in a major way, and my life took a 180, and it's been a growing opportunity ever since.
100%. It plants a seed that doesn't stop growing. It's like, it's insane to me that's even possible, to just eat a mushroom and like shift your consciousness. So.
Yeah. So I'm really curious. I kind of want to touch on something that, so I feel we talked about the kind of rise of like this hippie movement and just the collective consciousness really shifting. And I have also noticed that within that, there's been a lot of like spiritual bypassing and people that I have to kind of watch out for, and something that I'm actually guilty of myself through my own experience with the whole like, be positive, you'll only attract positive things. And if you're negative at all, like, that's bad. And like, you're not gonna get what you're trying to manifest, type of thing. So I'm curious, like, if you've seen a lot of that yourself within this kind of movement.
Sadly, I feel like I want to say like I've seen too much of it. It's just like so much, but it's funny that we're talking about all this stuff prior to this question, because as you asked that, I feel like it helped me see that spirituality in the modern era is like this like toxic masculinity trying to like force your way through life, like oh, just be tough and use spirituality to get through this. But like divine is all about like listening, honoring your body and space, and I feel like it's this adaptation or like adaptation of like our culture going through that, like being brought up through toxic masculinity, and then switching over to this spiritual wisdom, and then like kind of hauling with them the old ideals and kind of like very like American culture is very sacrificial. Like you're like kind of told that your job is more important than your life, and like you need to be a patriot and sacrifice everything for your country so the economy will work, and that you should just give up your dreams and go get a corporate job so that, you know, you can spiritually bypass. But like now with this like earth wisdom rising up and the blending of all of it, I think just even like that anyone's aware of that, like that you're aware of it, people in our friend group are aware of all this spiritual bypassing. I've experienced it a lot, and like you've said, I've done it before. I've done it to myself, even like put myself in really shitty situations for way too long, because I was constantly seeing the good in people, caring more about other people than my own energy. And it feels like it all comes back to like, how in tune are you with your own body and spirit and like your surroundings? And it's almost like, how can we expand our senses of like our perception of like, I think meditation and yoga is a great way to expand like how you feel. Mm-hmm. One example is like in science and like inventions, the more sensitivity invention has, the more efficient it is. So like new cars have like almost like self-driving capabilities because they have like literal 20-30 cameras that can sense, they have like more sense perception. And you know, like when you go, say like back in the day when you went fishing, you know, you could just like put your line and you're like in the dark, like in the water. But now boats have these like echo frequency technologies where you can like see how much fish are under you and all this stuff, and that's just more sensitivity being practiced. So I think the more we can like honor and get in tune with our own sense perceptions, the easier people will be able to figure out like, oh, I'm crossing this person's boundary, I'm crossing my own boundary. Like I remember before I meditated, I never even used to feel when food would affect, like be bad. I would just, I was like out of tune with my body, so I just didn't feel it. And now when I eat food that's toxic, I feel it instantly.
Yeah.
And I think that's like the evolution of our senses. And like, you know, instead of someone's like, you're too sensitive, it's probably a good thing. It's just a matter of like accepting it and not over identifying, I think, with our emotions at the same time too. It's kind of like a little bit of balance and a little bit of both. Like, you know, there's also people who are like setting the alarm off on spiritual bypassing who have yet to like integrate any spiritual wisdom, or like, you know, it's easy to be like, oh, like you need to speak up and be loud for every situation. But then there's like numerous situations in my life where I like actually pulled back and like let the situation pop, like evolve a little bit, and that person ended up changing way more because I didn't like attack them. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to say. It's definitely like a lot.
Yeah. Oh, that's crazy. Yeah, I've just recently really been getting into how, and actually feeling and embodying like the importance of feeling connected to this body and this vessel. And I feel like most of my life I've actually been really just in my head and just like outside of myself. And through like breath work and deep breathing practices and actually like holding space with other sisters and being in like connection with the divine feminine has actually brought me into my heart. And I'm just so grateful because it's like most of my life I've been like just in here, you know, and it's like the greatest gift to be able to finally like understand like the importance and to really feel what it's like to be connected to our bodies.
100%. It's almost like the greatest issue our species is facing is just like being consumed in the ego mind, or like being over identified with everything that runs through your mind. Yeah. Or everything that you are aware that your mind is thinking, because it's like, who's really thinking? Who's the thinker? Who's the perceiver? How is it that like you can get in tune with your body and that your mind goes still? And it's also interesting to me, like this greater shift in consciousness from like going out of the mind and into, I don't know, like your consciousness or your true self, like just your awareness, and then bringing that attention to your body and like using your body as an anchor, I think for like the present moment can really change everything. After the first time I took mushrooms, that was like the main thing I walked away with, was like, mm-hmm. everything you think is not what you even think. And a lot of it's like cultural baggage. And mm-hmm. until you examine your own thoughts and like get in touch with the like spaciousness or like formlessness of like the true nature, I think, of our spirits, then we're just like lost in like forms and like physical reality and yeah. over-identified with what's happening rather than like what could be happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm having all these light bulbs going off. I think a lot of that disconnection from my body was coming from working corporate jobs and being so unbelievably busy and burnt out that I literally had no time to give to my body. And it's not until like recently I started working a part-time job, and that finally gave me that spaciousness to like really look at myself and be like, okay, what is it that I truly want to bring to the world, and how do I want to best serve? And like, is this like societal programming of like, you need to work a 9-to-5 to be successful really serving me? And like, it's just, yeah, I really feel for people that have to go through that, because it's just, that was, I think the underlying issue was that was taking up so much of my time that I couldn't even have the permission to even connect with this body.
Yes. I think honestly, what you're talking about is like the greatest thing we're facing on like a political landscape, and it's kind of what definitely inspired me actually to like get more into like activism and political stuff, was realizing like how I want to say capitalism, but I think it's deeper than capitalism. It's just like the for-profit market money system just like always enforces that we should be sacrificing our well-being for the greater good and be making money, and that's the only important thing, and like we should sacrifice our bodies and wisdom. And I started to realize like how these economies are really suppressing people's consciousness and really breeding this kind of selfish person that we see everywhere, like in every circle of our lives, you know, the spiritual bypassing, blah, 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 the Nazis, the rapists, the all of it is like, I think, a product of this culture that like you don't have enough time to take care of yourself. You don't have your basic needs met, and we don't have, you know, like a healthcare system that's actually for health, it's for profit. And these systems of control are essentially like what suppresses everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had a previous employer tell me that I was taking too much time off of work. I've been working for this company for about 6 months, and I took maybe 1 or 2 days off a month.
And you were working over 50 hours a week.
Well over 50 hours a week. And he looked at me and he was like, I'm going to approve this, but I just want you to know that if you were to work for any major company or any major firm, that you would not be kept around, and that you need to sacrifice for the company, and you need to take the time to dedicate to this company. And that's when I was like, yeah, F that. I am gonna basically be my own boss. And I've told my parents, I'm not gonna work for anybody, you know, still employed out here in Asheville, but I made a promise to myself that I will never ever work for someone else unless it's for my higher good.
No, I think what you're saying is like why people at the top of all of these industries are a little bit more selfish. Like the people that climbed to the top were the ones who were okay with what your boss said. They were okay with like not taking care of themselves or their own hobbies or exploring what it means to like be human and have community or whatever, have a culture. And so all the people at the top were all the kind of same kind of person of just like, well, who cares? Screw everyone else. Let's make money. Like, yeah, we got to do what we got to do for our stockholders. Yeah. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, why are the police so violent? Like, they're literally profiteering off violence. They're forced to, like, make their paycheck through arresting people. And the more people they arrest, the more money they get.
Yeah.
So it's it encourages people to screw other people over. The whole system does.
Yeah. Mind you, this boss that I speak of, when I first started working for the company and I was driving along with him, kind of being shown the ropes of the sales gig, he was telling me about how other countries in Europe and Scandinavia, they have 25, 30 hour work weeks, and the quality of life over there, people are so much happier. And then in the same breath, he tells me that he's happy that he has a company, that he can finally take care of his employees. And then, you know, months later, he's like, you need to be a slave to the grind.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Classic America, buddy. Okay, buddy.
And you have to, because your income level is low enough to where you have not many other opportunities to make that kind of income. And your income level essentially is a reflection of like your basic needs being taken care of. So if your basic needs aren't taken care of, then like you're suffering essentially. And it's like insane to me, like how much things could shift if the everyday person just had like this baseline basic needs, like food, shelter, transportation,
universal
people
basic
would
income.
Live exactly people would live so differently, every person. And that's why I think like political activism is like so important. Like you can't use the law of attraction to like spiritually bypass the systematic oppression that the economies like create. Minorities have much lower incomes. Women make like 80% of on the dollar to men. Like it's just worldwide systematic economic oppression and in like low-key I think like enslavement of humanity.
I know that firsthand. Whenever I was working in the cannabis industry, After I was there for a while, I kind of started picking up on all of the men were getting raises and the women weren't for whatever reason. And I actually ended up leaving because of that reason, because I was graduating college. You know, I spent all this thousands of dollars to like find a good paying job, they say, you know, and then when it came time for my evaluation, it went well. I had no like bad things or anything that I needed to improve on, and they still like refused to give me a raise. And I think that it's because I'm a woman.
Yeah, exactly. And that's, I mean, it happens in the music industry. I notice it's harder for women to get gigs, get paid, get taken seriously. It's like every woman is expected to be a singer or a dancer. And if you're just a DJ, then like who produces for you? Does your boyfriend produce for you?
God.
And all the dudes are jealous when the girl gets attention. They're like, oh, she has a ghost producer for sure. Like, it's like this deep-seated insecurity of like needing to be like have a higher elevated social status or economic status compared to women has like eroded the consciousness of men. Like we just like see women as material objects or like just lesser than. It's funny how the economy plays into that. And that's why to me, like spirituality isn't the cure. Like it's like the Black Lives Matter movement. Like a lot of spiritual people are like, well, all lives matter, but they don't realize the systematic oppression of Black people has gone on for, you know, literally they were slaves and built this country. It's happened forever, and until that stuff ends, there is no bliss. There is no ecstatic, sure, temporary, like, move, like, individual expressions of it are so needed and beautiful, but until every person can actually have their basic needs and then be treated, like, with human respect and common decency, then to me, it feels fake to be, like, and I mean, there's days where I feel this, you know, it's like everything's perfect and everything's okay. And like, you know, everything is in divine order always. I just don't find that to be true anymore. It's like, sure, for you and certain temporary moments, but like, it's like a fleeting glimpse of what's possible for all of us, I think.
Yeah. And I apologize. The dumpster truck is just, you know, being really loud. Can you hear that?
I actually can't. Dude, that is like life. It's so funny. Especially like podcasting and interviewing. It's like,
oh yeah,
like my phone just like popped off. Or like, it's funny, like with the lockdowns and virus, like the music industry going from live shows to streaming.
Yeah,
I don't think a lot of I want to say like consumers or like fans of music realize how insanely complicated it is to even pull off a live stream and have it sound good and how much equipment you need. Like it is way easier to do a live show than a live stream. It's so funny to me.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about that.
Way harder.
What are the extra steps that have to go into that? Other than having like a Twitch account.
Right. So I've resorted to using two computers at once and my phone. So I'm using a laptop to DJ off of, my phone as my camera, and then my main computer is sending the audio to the internet websites. And getting my like video and audio to come out clear took a whole bunch of really in-depth research. I didn't think it was gonna be so complicated, and just like equipment. I also have like this little mixer. Like the first 3 weeks of streaming, I couldn't figure out why my guitar was lagging, and I had to get an extra mixer. And now every time you see me live stream, I have my headphones on, because I have to run my headphones from my mixer into my ears prior to it going online, because there's like a delay.
Yeah. Are you talking about something like this?
Yeah.
Like a Focusrite or a Scarlett?
Something to pull processing power off of
instead of it running through everything through the computer.
I run my mixer into my audio interface or my Scarlett. So I had to take one extra step.
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
You could technically do that with the audio interface, I think, but I found it to be a little clearer and crisper with this little mixer.
So speaking of like live streams, do you have any upcoming events or anything that you're doing?
So I'm going to, not as many as in the beginning, because I've been focusing more on finishing music. Which like at first I was like, oh crap, I'm like not finishing any music because I'm doing so much live streaming and I'm tired and it's like having a job now. But I have these people out of, I think, Rhode Island. They have a company called Jamcast. And I did their first little Jam Fest festival about a month ago. And the next one is going to be in early August. Let me see if I can find the exact date real quick. And then me and my friend are going to set up a live stream event at the end of August. Two guys, two females. Everyone involved is like really awesome person and has like stood up for racial justice and just like other stuff. That'll be at the, I think August 27th is the date that we're gonna plan for that. Let me see the the next one is gonna be Friday, August 7th through 9th. It's like a little 2 or 3 day festival by Jamcast. You can find them on Facebook. Jamcast Network is the website. And I'll have like a full 60-minute set.
Awesome.
Up on there.
Yeah. Yay.
Yeah.
Cool beans. So I'm curious if you have, like, I know you were recommending one person that you said that you follow that talks a lot about the racial justice stuff. Maybe for people who don't really know kind of where to start or begin, like, do you have any resources or people that you recommend that maybe people can follow to get a little more information or books or anything?
Totally. So for like on the music side first, I just released a new Spotify playlist where that was kind of like my mission was like, how can I highlight every single artist in every genre that's like into this stuff? So I just released a new Spotify playlist called Time for a Change Summer 2020. Okay. And that has like, I think my favorite right now is this Jamaican female artist named Natalie Rise. Mm-hmm. If you're looking for someone that's like an alternate to Nako, then I think Natalie Rise really gets into the depth of like spirituality and like systematic oppression. It's like the reggae movement really has like the, like, you know, rebel anti-establishment message built in that a lot of the like electronic music and stuff doesn't really have. So I think even just in general, reggae music is a great place to start. Yeah. But Natalie Rise is a great one for like acoustic reggae music. Like there's not as much in the electronic realm, to be honest, but there's a music that's like a lot more open-minded and stuff like Kalia Scintilla, like has much more like world music influence. And yeah, I think all that stuff is actually shifting consciousness as well. But like on a political front, first that comes to mind is like people like AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez in the Congress out of New York is super, super powerful voice. She has her own documentary on Netflix about how she won her seat in Congress. I think it's like The Knockdown or something like that. But also Ilhan Omar is another Congress member that's just super progressive. She's from Somalia, and she's like the first like international Senate member, I think. And her, Charles Booker, who had just lost in Kentucky, his Twitter account is amazing. Jamal Bowman won in New York recently, and he's said to be like the next AOC, and he's mm-hmm. like Black and powerful and badass, and just like having, like, we just need like so much more diversity in politics, and having Black Lives Matter leaders in Congress, like mm-hmm. starting next year, like, wow. You know, those voices will no longer go unheard, and these people are going to stand up to the establishment. And that's, you know, that starts with voting and getting involved in a local level and just paying attention to the platform of these politicians. Mm-hmm. So those are some good places. I think in general, like, YouTube is probably like the best source of, like, if you're trying to research racial justice, women's rights, and just like divine feminine, or, you know, like the earth, climate change, all that stuff. Greta Thunberg, I think, you know, is an amazing person to follow on Twitter and Instagram. She posts a lot, but I think even the hippie community has like missed her message. Like, a lot of people say, like, some of the companies she works for are partially owned by George Soros, and like the whole climate change movement is just trying to like tax carbon and like enslave humans. But she doesn't really talk about any of that stuff. She talks mm-hmm. about like the very like on the ground, like, what's happening, why are we ignoring environmentalism? It's not mm-hmm. just like all about global warming. It's like, we're polluting the waters with oil, you know, like the Gulf of Mexico, you know, was destroyed by BP all those years ago, and the infrastructure of our country and the energy systems we use. Like, I think a lot of people don't know that when Hurricane Katrina hit New Orleans, the only reason it was so bad was because the dams had not been updated in like 20 years. Like, the dams were so old and raggedy that it was like just a matter of time till they had mass flooding. Like, just that we spend all this money. What I'm thinking is, like, we spend all this money on the military and police and like lobbying, and our roads are crappy. Our bridges are falling apart. And these dams all across America in Michigan, they had this small town where a dam broke like 2 months ago and flooded an entire town. And that's like, Flint, Michigan hasn't fixed its water pipes. Like, it's like, there's all this other stuff that the spiritual community doesn't realize is happening.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you so much. That was really good information.
What would you have to say to someone who says that their vote doesn't count, and that the voting
their vote doesn't count?
Yeah, and that voting is pointless, and that the system is rigged?
I think they're totally valid, first of all, in thinking that way, because especially this year, we've found how so much voting could be suppressed. But I think that's on purpose. After researching, like I would suggest to everyone, go research the civil rights movement. Why did we fight for women to vote? Mm-hmm. Like, if voting doesn't matter, why would we have that entire movement? The thing is, the right, the alt-right and the Republicans, they literally, that's their agenda. It's partial hippie agenda too. Mm-hmm. Say voting doesn't matter, erode democracy so that long-term people think that. And like, think of it as this progressive, like, oh, voting doesn't matter, you're a sheep if you vote. That's what the Republicans want. Mm-hmm. Because the more people vote, the more people get involved, like, you'll have third parties emerging, you'll have progressivism, you'll have social rights being talked about, because the big reason that people don't vote is because they don't feel represented. Their ideals are not represented at all on the bigger platforms, so they feel uninspired to vote. And so I think instead of telling people to not vote, I've realized it's more about you should get involved so people will vote for your ideas. If we can take over the system, the like justice system, judicial system, and the government structures that America has is very unique. And we still have this small like freedom of speech where people like AOC are on the Congress floor yelling at racist people. It's like, they don't have that in Syria. So we have this wiggle room here that they're trying to take from us. And I think we have to have this double-sided conversation with people who feel like voting doesn't matter, because literally they have no representation and they've watched voting numbers, like literal their vote wasn't counted. Like they mailed in the ballot and it didn't even count. There was like 3 million votes in Michigan when Bernie was competing, or like the Democratic parties were voting in March or whenever it was. People had screenshots of it was either 3,000 or 3 million votes, or 300,000, I don't know the exact figure, but votes disappearing on the website within a 10-minute period. Just like, oh, this is what it is, and then he's winning, and then, oh, someone else won. But I think the reason that happens is because we have all these corporate lobbyists in the government. All these capitalists in the government are like wanting the oil industries, big pharma. They're scared of Bernie, so they will suppress his vote because they're more scared of Bernie than they are of Trump, because they don't want to pay taxes on their billions of dollars.
Thank you for re-inspiring me, because totally. I've sort of almost lost hope in the system, even though I want to be politically involved here in Asheville and maybe beyond. But that was all really, really good. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny, like, the Bernie thing, like it was Bernie. I'm still an anarchist, but Bernie was the person that showed me, like, if you ever want to get to true anarchy, like peaceful anarchy, not like gangs against gangs and just like racial war anarchy, but like heaven on earth anarchy, you have to use the political system to get there. And you have to like give people back their basic rights and their like basic needs, like homelessness. And like, we're just not going to get there through business. Like, you're not going to have some billionaire be like, okay, like, let's end all homelessness. Like, literally every single day Jeff Bezos wakes up, he decides to not end homelessness. He has the margin where he could do it and not even blink and still have the same amount of profit. I don't know. It's like, I realize we're not going to get there through business. So we have to use the political system to get there. And then once we do, you know, you have this system where there's like sustainable energy systems. You have like the infrastructure, you have like mass transit trains, and like everything is, transportation becomes like pretty much free, and food and housing is free pretty much, that, well, you don't need a government at that point. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Let me make the point real quick for the listeners, because a lot of people may not understand what anarchy means. We think about anarchy in our culture, and we think chaos and rioting. Anarchy comes from the Greek word archon, and an being without. So an archon means ruler. You know, in ancient Greek times, an archon would rise up in times of great peril and strife and be the one person who leads the Greek city-states out of whatever crap they were going through. I think that's a tyrant. Anyways, yeah, so anarchy means without rulers, without leaders, and that's what an anarchist believes.
Absolutely.
Know, self-governance, respect.
Mm-hmm. Yes. 100%. Yeah, and I didn't realize till I was older that like there's different variations of anarchy, in the sense there's like literal cap, like they call them ANCAPs, anarchist capitalist, or anarcho-capitalist, socialist, or anarchist communist, or there's anarchist libertarian socialists, which I more lean into, which is essentially like maximizing individual rights, but providing like basic needs for the community at the same time, because anarchist capitalists just want the free market to dictate all the wellness of life. And it's so essentially the same thing we have without, like, imagine just like you have no environmental regulations for anybody. And it would, like, oil companies would overpower the people with the most money and the most muscle would overpower everyone else, sadly. And you would just see mass pollution.
That's my major pet peeve with libertarianism.
Same.
I agree with libertarianism like almost 100%.
Right.
But if implemented, how is it any better than what's happening on the right side of the political spectrum today?
I think it's potentially worse.
Yeah.
And I didn't think that at first. I was like, heck yeah, voluntarianism, like this is it. And then I realized, well, capitalism is anti-voluntarianism. Capitalism is a system that coerces people to work for money, or like work to make ends meet or provide your basic needs, or you're castized, or you know, you're shunned if you don't do that. So I recently found libertarian socialism, which is kind of like a non-hierarchical way of structuring, like it's like individual rights and community, I want to say like responsibility. It's like, this is our community. We need to make sure everyone's taken care of, not just like, well, there's a mafia over there and they just killed my granddaughter and I should probably give up my land now because there's no laws.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I like the memes on that you see on the internet about libertarian society being like Mad Max. And
yeah.
You look at like the socialist picture and it's like Starship Enterprise in space.
I have that exact meme saved from like 2015.
Yeah, no, but it's so true. If you just like look at, I mean, I don't know.
Right. Well, I think most libertarians haven't thought in depth about it enough because they just want like to collect rainwater and not pay taxes on their income. Like, and I totally get all of that and I think it's so real, but it's like pretty much only thinking about yourself is kind of the concept underneath of that. And just saying, well, people should be able to do what they want. But if you like take what's like the extreme version of people being able to do what they want, like, I'm gonna rape your kid. I'm right. gonna like blow up your house. I want to run you over with a car. I don't know. Those are extreme versions, but I mean, we still see that. Like, we've had multiple protesters run over by cars in the last month. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
What if that person just walked away free in an anarchist society? That person like got arrested and put on trial. You know, I think that's actually probably better. So it's confusing, and there's like, it just needs to be a conversation, because like, I don't have all the answers, we don't have the answers, but as we talk about together, like, you guys open my eyes, or I might enlighten you to some other subjects, and it's like, we need to have a conversation as a people, instead of letting just like the people on the news and the corporate leaders and establishment like make and dictate all the rules. Like, mm-hmm. We need like a true democracy again.
Yeah.
It's kind of nerdy, but this reminds me of that scene in Star Wars, I believe it's episode 2, where Anakin and Padme are talking about politics, and he's like, I think everybody should just get together and talk about their ideas and make the best decision. And then Padme's right. like, but that's what happens, but just people don't disagree. And Anakin's like, well, they should be made to agree.
Right.
Like, this is like the same balancing act that we're dealing with, like, you know, democracy or totalitarianism or authoritarianism or whatever you want to call it.
Right. And it can kind of be the same thing of like Anakin being like, they should be made to be, think that we should have a democracy. And it's like, all right, Mr. Darth Vader, like dictator, dark side coming out of you early. Like,
yeah.
It's interesting. Star Wars is inspiring because I'm like, what if instead of a president, we had like a Jedi Council? Or like,
yeah.
You know, what if we had a true republic compared to this like free form democracy or whatever? Like, what if we had a little bit more like structured, built in like basic rights and basic needs provided, like kind of like a socialist state rather than like anarchist or whatever. I don't even know.
But that's fascism and that's Nazism.
Right.
Socialism is evil.
Right. Capitalists say that they're scared of socialism because the product of their labor will be leached by other people, i.e. like their tax dollars will go to other people. But literally capitalism is a system where you leverage labor off someone else and benefit. So like an employer is literally like a hateful socialist in their eyes. You know, like it's like when you work for someone, they're leveraging your labor to make profit and it's not equal. Your labor is more valuable to them than their profit margin. So you're actually providing more money than you think when you're working for someone. And because we don't have unions and we don't have any sense of relationship between the employer and the employee, then you see all these CEOs make millions and billions of dollars while their workers are getting paid minimum wage, and it's really the workers that are doing everything. And I think that's kind of what it's at the heart of socialism too. It's like the relationship between the employee and the worker.
That's so brilliant. It's like reflecting to me how I view my future business. I want it to be a co-op where members, we want a health and wellness center. Yeah. Many different avenues of healing and personal training and herbalism, but we want it to be a co-op so that members can join and have a say, like REI. And also the other employees, I want them to be almost an equal playing field with me.
Exactly.
Like I don't want to diminish them and enslave them. I want them to be collaborative. That's what I want. That's the word I'm looking for. I want it to be a collaborative business, not some
right.
I'm in control of everything and I founded this business and whatever I say goes. I want it to be right. Like, hey, let's all get coffee. Let's chat. Let's have ideas. Let's see how we can make this grow together.
Exactly.
Yes. No, I think the co-op model could be like a good government model. Like,
I pay taxes.
You know, like with a little more transparency, like a co-op Democrat. I can't remember the word. There's this one, like, it's like active democratic system. It's pretty much like you like will end up like leveraging the internet to like make sure everyone's voice is heard, and like leveraging you wouldn't have to, you could like use paper or something or voting, but we could use technology to like update politics, and like you could have your, you know, like this website where you go to vote every day, or there's certain like when you're gathering signatures for something or whatever, it could just
petitioning.
And I would like to see that in the future, much more like co-op, like conversational, creative, and kind of like Like when you hear the word establishment, it kind of means like stagnant, like unmoving, unevolving. I'd love to see a culture that was like constantly evolving. It's like constantly emerging. It's like evolution. Like we're like on the forefront of it rather than just like, this is how the way, this is how things are and it's established.
Yeah. And I think a lot of that kind of growth involves getting really uncomfortable, because I feel like whenever we kind of stick with what we're comfortable in, we can't really expand at all. And I'm just noticing, like, even for me, like talking about politics makes me kind of cringe, and I'm just like trying to like ground myself and be like, all right, why is this making me feel some type of way? Like, where is this coming from? And I know that in order for us to grow as a community, we all have to be having uncomfortable conversations and dipping into that. Like, let that be the internal compass to guide you to grow, you know?
100%. It's so the same for me. Like, we got to be willing to be a little bit vulnerable and like reflective, like in our own bias or just like cultural like domestication. Like, you know, like humans are kind of like domesticated like animals from the elite. But at the same time, like honoring those voices and like, you know, questioning like your own questioning. And like, for me, it's like, yeah, like I kind of cringe too about all the politics stuff. And that's like why deep down I like do believe in anarchy and that we can get there. Cause it's like, dude, nature provides all the abundance in the world for all we could ever need. And why are we all fighting? Let's just go have fun. Like, we're just wasting our time here talking about all this stuff. And it's like all provided for us. And we could just simply organize and just have one big like planet Earth party. I don't know. Karma festival.
Wonderful. Yeah. A giant rave.
Yes.
Oh, I can't wait for some
that's
live
the goal
music.
With 7 oh billion God. Feet with 7 billion feet. Well, no, there'd be 14 billion feet stomping in the dirt barefoot.
So take many feet. That would be it, the craziest day ever.
It would be like an earthquake.
It might be like, I didn't even know.
I think China like, did an experiment where they got like 10 million people to jump at the same time in the same location, and it caused an earthquake. Like, small scale, but they could like measure it on the other. They could measure it on the other side of the planet. Like, wow. Boom.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's insane.
7 billion people like stomping their feet, shake the bones of the earth.
That's like the next evolution of humans. Is like pretty much right now, humans are just acting random. Like, you see like ants and they're all kind of like like it seems like they have like they're all working together. Humans haven't got that far yet. Humans are more underdeveloped than ants or bugs or animals, because we're all, I mean, maybe it's actually like a higher evolution because we have like accessed individuality, and then eventually we'll like cross weave like balancing that act of like, okay, well, ant also has no individual freedom, so how can we kind of like move as a species and at the same time have individuality? And that's kind of what I was talking about the beginning with community. Is like, community is the celebration of diversity and individuality rather than just sameness.
Embracing that divine feminine, getting in touch with your feelings, that is cross-cultural, and everybody getting in touch with themselves can bring us all 100%. Together.
100%. I feel that. So real.
Yeah. So this conversation has been incredibly nourishing. I usually do like an end of episode heart share questions, so I'll just ask you like some brief questions, but before I do that, can you tell people where they can find you on socials?
Yes. Facebook is Spaceship Earth Music. If you like type Spaceship Earth into Google, you're going to find Disney stuff, because there's this, in Epcot, there's like this spiked dome thing that most people have like seen. And that dome is a geodesic dome invented by this futurist, Buckminster Fuller, and he named the dome Spaceship Earth. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even know that till after I picked the band name and all. I'm like, what? So Buckminster Fuller coined the term Spaceship Earth. So when you type into Google, that's what comes up first. So on Instagram, it's Spaceship Earth Official. My website is Spaceship Earth Official. And on Twitter, it's Spaceship Earth, but you have to take the E and make it a 3, because they were already taken.
Awesome. I'll definitely link to that.
On Spotify, though, it's just Spaceship Earth. SoundCloud is Spaceship Earth Music with an X at the end. Mm-hmm. And then I have this, I can give you this link. It's just like a fan link where it's just like fanlink.to/spaceship earth. And it has all of my socials in one place.
Oh, sweet. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely send that my way. That'd be great.
Yeah.
So for the first heart share question, it is, what have you been listening to lately? That could be podcasts, music, audiobooks, anything that's nourishing you.
Man, what have I been listening to? One thing that really sparked since the lockdown is I've been listening to more psytrance. psychedelic trance music is like big for me in the last year or so. It not only is like I love dancing to it, but I feel like I can put it on the background and I like can clean and be so much more productive because it's so fast. But at the same time, like, I've been listening to a lot of reggae and roots music because of the message. And funny enough, because I've been like making this Spotify playlist for like a month, that's like I've been listening to mainly that exact playlist by myself all the time. Mm-hmm. And it's like been very nourishing, like you said, to me.
Awesome. Yeah. Thank you. And the second question is, what is elevating you in this season of your life? That can be anything.
I think daily meditation and I want to say ganja. Like, helps me create this like little bit of distance from my like anger of like what's happening in the United States, not even just with the virus, but like all the sexual allegations, all of this stuff. It's so emotionally draining and like heartbreaking for me as like just like a member of this community. I'm like, oh my gosh, like I played shows with these people and all of that, and a little bit of breath work and spaciousness definitely helps like my anxiety, but definitely like meditating in the morning and right before I go to bed, like consistently has helped me more than anything else.
Beautiful. And I have three more questions. The next one is a little on the deeper side. So it is, if there was one message that you could share with a collective, what would that be?
You as a soul incarnated into Earth with a purpose, and your soul mission, we have to remember that we potentially live multiple lives and that your soul mission is why you came here. So realizing that you are a spirit and you are more than your body, like I think our body is sacred and divine. Yet once humans realize that we incarnate multiple times and we're a spiritual being having a human experience, right? That alone will shift this like great remembrance, like, why am I here? Why are we here? How did we get here? What are we doing? And yeah, just this, for me, I'm like, maybe I did come to like make music or share other gifts and information. And I think deep down, like even asking the question, kind of like, I'm like, it maybe just instantly brings up like this past life memory of like, maybe I picked my parents, maybe I picked my family, maybe we all planned this, maybe there is like this like greater intention that we came here with. A lot of that is inspired from this book, this fiction book, Celestine Prophecy. That book helped me realize like the most important thing we can do is actually remember that we live multiple lives and that we're a spirit and a light being or whatever. And because the over-identification with like this lifetime in our bodies and our little human lives is like, I think what creates most of our emotional baggage or anger at each other. Because it's like, oh, like I'm gonna die and never live again. But, and maybe that's like low key one of the like more cryptic agendas of like modern religion is like, well, you must fear God, and the only way to get to the good place is if you read the Bible and you're this certain way. But what if you already are saved and like you are already a soul and you came here actually, rather than just like, well, you must do this or that. Like in my eyes, like we're all part of something much bigger, and like your soul is ultimately good.
I'm feeling that. Ooh, thank you.
Totally, man, thank you.
That was so beautiful. Ugh, such a beautiful soul. I'm so grateful.
I'm so grateful for you guys.
The fourth question I have here is, are there any plants or crystals that you are feeling particularly connected to right now?
Well, it's funny enough, I've got this little Labradorite by me. Nice. And my friend Dan, otherwise known as Weichi Field, gave me this as a gift right as I left Denver like a month or so ago, and I've been keeping that one on me. I can't remember the name of it though, but crystals help me a lot, and plants, I'm gonna say trees. Just like when I surround myself with trees, I physically feel better and have more mental clarity rather than just like this like quasi spiritual feeling. Like I think trees are good for our electromagnetic health. Like, you know, there's like all this electromagnetic toxicity from electronics that's very real and draining on our adrenal glands, our immune system. Talking about immune system with the virus, like get into nature and get away from electronics. And yeah, go trees.
Yeah, thank you.
Totally.
And the last question that I have is, if you know your sun sign, your rising sign, and your moon sign.
Yes, my sun sign, and this is a great question because honestly, I didn't even believe in astrology until I discovered my moon sign and was like, who wrote this book about me and like spied on me my whole life, right? So, my sun sign is Aries. April 10th, Aries, but my moon sign's Libra, which is the polar opposite of Aries, and then my rising sign's Virgo. So for me, like, once I discovered that Libra is my moon sign, it all started to click because I never felt like an Aries. Aries is very, like, me first, like, angry, like, forceful, and like Libra's literal the polar opposite of like, it's like we oriented, like community oriented, and kind of like almost like martyrism. You're like, sure, you can walk all over me and I'm fine. Like that was me growing up. So honestly, it, like learning astrology and like learning to balance those two energies has helped me like stand up for my, I'm like, okay, probably should like not be so Libra-y all the time, and like should let my Aries fire like come out every once in a while. And yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. I'm very grateful
to have
spoken with you. And I know that this episode is definitely going to help a lot of people. So thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you for creating this space and following your heart. And this is totally what the world needs to be doing, like what you're doing right here. So
thank you so much, Ashton. Okay. Well, until next time, I'm sending you so many blessings. Much love.
So much love and blessings to you guys.
Okay. Bye-bye.
See ya.
Hello, friends. Just checking in here. I really hope you enjoyed this potent and vulnerable and raw episode with Ashton and Joe. If you enjoyed this episode, just a friendly reminder to share it with your friend. Subscribe on whatever app you're using, rate and review if you feel called. It really helps sort of spread these messages out into the world. And as always, I have provided resources and ways to connect with Ashton, so be sure to check that out in the show notes. If you feel called to check out the Patreon, you can do so by visiting patreon.com/elevatedcommunity, and there you can check out the giveaways and sign up at the $2 a month level. If you feel called to unlock all of those patron only posts, there are a couple of free ones, however, if that's not your jam right now. So I just want to thank you again so much for showing up today, and I hope that this nourished your soul as much as it did mine. And to really bring this all home, I hope you enjoy Ashton's latest track called Evolve. Sending you all so much love. Until next time.
Peoples of the world will have to discover a way to live together in peace, thereby transform this pending cosmic elegy into a creative song of brotherhood. If this is to be achieved, man must evolve.
peoples of the world will have to discover a way to live together in peace.